Well, tonight we read through the third chapter of 2 Samuel. And if you were sitting there listening to that story, getting totally confused, yeah, you're with me. What an incredible mess. Just a mess after mess after mess. And you will see the fruit of this in the lives of these people later on. It gets worse. So what is God trying to tell us by giving us this passage of Scripture? You know, a long war takes place between Saul's house and David's house. I think it's kind of meant to illustrate the war that goes on between the flesh and the spirit, but really, who's of the flesh and who's of the spirit in this story? There's a lot of flesh going on here. And flesh wars against flesh as well as against spirit. What happens here? And then we have a record of David's wives and all the sons born to him. His polygamous family. This great hero of faith, David. Maybe he's not quite the hero that you thought. Because he's not meant to be. He's not meant to be. You see, the two books of Samuel clearly reveal significant contrast between the lives of King Saul and King David. These two men show different responses to God and his lordship of their lives. When we're faced with a contrast like this, we can sometimes polarize our opinions concerning people so that we lift up one, David the hero, and Saul the villain. David is mostly placed in the category of the hero and Saul mostly in the category of the villain. This, however, is a simplistic position that denies other truths that God wants us to recognize are important in seeking to live a godly life. The life of David in the scriptures is described as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is surely just a type. A shadow. David has many areas of weakness that bring further illustrations that we as sinners, just like him, need to take note of. And when we look at each other's lives, do we lift up a certain Christian against another one? I think we do. Paul tells us in Galatians, as I was sharing with Don before the service, our attitude towards ourselves, if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, are you a nothing? Hallelujah. Isn't it lovely to be a nothing? It's good to be a nothing, absolutely. It's really good to be nothing. Because if you are nothing, he is everything. And if we've made David into our hero, we've got our eyes on the wrong hero. If we've made Michael our hero, or Lamb our hero, or anyone our hero, we've got our eyes on the wrong hero. And we are... Okay, Stuart, thank you. That's right. It's just Jesus. Well, this story describes a long war between David and his house and Saul's house. But then it tells us about, you know, the birth of Amnon, born to Ahinoam of Jezreel. That's one wife. And then his second is Chileab, born of Abigail, his second wife, the widow of Nabal and Carmel. And then the third is Absalom, the son of Maachah. You know what Absalom did to Amnon, don't you? These are brothers, or supposedly. Murdered him. What is David doing with this household of his? Why is he gathering to himself all these wives? the lusts of the flesh. Is it any wonder later on that we find David stepping out of war and then sleeping with another woman? Is it any wonder, really? How many women has he slept with? How many children has he had? Is this really the hero? The man after God's own heart? What does that actually mean? And so we have the third chapter of 2 Samuel, just to highlight a few things about David, to put him in his rightful place in the purposes of God. God uses instruments that are flawed. You and me. And David here produces a household that ends up in terrible conflict. His own lust of the flesh allows him to fall down at the point of Bathsheba, who's bathing beautifully. And then we have Abner, this man, you know, who was fighting on Saul's side. And then what happens with him? Well, Abner, in the house of Saul, making himself strong. But Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Another act of sexual immorality here. Friends, sexual immorality is a serious business. Do not ever think that when you bow down to sexual immorality, you will not face the consequences. You will. Unless you repent and seek the forgiveness and cleansing of God, you will face consequences. Abner takes offense at this challenge from Ishbosheth. "You charge me today with a fault concerning a woman when I'm fighting the great battles." What is that? You know, just having an affair with a woman. Did you watch the coronation of King Charles? The world was watching this supposedly magnificent event, and all I could hear was John the Baptist in the background saying, "You should never have married this woman in adultery." The consequences will be severe. And then Abner says, "God do so to Abner and more also if I do not accomplish for David what the Lord has sworn to him." Here is Abner's pride absolutely oozing out. "If I will not accomplish what God has promised." I mean, what is that? We accomplish nothing. God accomplishes his purposes when, as we sang beautifully tonight, standing on his promises, he will accomplish what he has said. But here is Abner taking offense because he has been challenged about his sexual sin, changing sides altogether. And what will be the consequence of this? He'll be killed, murdered by Joab. What is this chapter trying to tell us? You have the whole story of Abner sort of making sides and then David taking him in, and, you know. And what's David doing in the midst of all this? Is he acting in a godly way? I think the only godly thing David says is at the end of the chapter. "The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness." And that includes David himself. Because that's exactly what God does. Friends, tonight there is a scripture that you want to take home from this service and you want to live by it every single day of your life. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. How's your sowing going? Not that sort of sowing. Are you in a hard place? Is it tough in your circumstances? Have people got against you? What does Jesus tell you to do? What sort of sowing do you need to do in that context? Do you need to mope and moke and, you know, say bad things about them? Well, Jesus tells you exactly what to do. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even the sinners do the same. No, lend to those from whom you expect nothing in return. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Why is that? Because whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. This is a fundamental truth of the whole Bible. Whatever you sow, you will reap. If you forgive people, you'll be forgiven, says Jesus. This is a fundamental truth, and it runs right through this whole story. You just see disaster after disaster because people have sown to their flesh, have sown to the corruption of the human nature, and the outcome is all recorded for us in the scriptures. So I've chosen the New Testament reading tonight because it is that very passage where Paul is summarizing his letter to the Galatians, which is a wonderful letter. Really challenging the contrast between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit of God. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Why should you do it like that? Because you yourself are a sinner and you needed to be restored yourself. Someone along the line has graciously brought the truth to you and led you back into the path of righteousness, and you've confessed your sin, humbled yourself, and you've been forgiven. And that is what we are to do with those who fall into sin. Keep watch on yourself, says Paul. Watch out. Are you hurt by somebody? We all get hurt. People do nasty things to us at times. But read Hebrews. Take care lest there be in you any bitterness at all. Because bitterness sows seeds of disaster. Bitterness leads to sowing seeds that lead to reaping a harvest of disaster. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something, Abner thought he was something, didn't he? I'll get you back for challenging me about that woman. I'll turn and make David the king and lose his life in the process. He reaped what he sowed. Anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. What are you sowing? What are you sowing? I love the story that Jim shared tonight. You were sowing to that sheep. It didn't seem like it was getting very much, but you go on sowing. But when there's a fruit like this, what do you do, Jim? You rejoice. And God not only gives you the sheep, but gives you a message as well. Don't give up. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. Let each one test his own work. Well, we can do that every day, can't we? We can test it out. Are we really loving our enemies? Are we actually doing good to them? When they do something positive, do we commend them? Oh, you can't do that to your enemy. It's like on the hockey field, isn't it, Dave? When they score a good goal against you, you don't clap the opposition, do you? And they How do we respond? What are we sowing? Test your own work and then have reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbour. Each will have to bear his own load. Paul is basically saying there, you're going to reap what you sow. What the other person is doing, well, they're going to reap what they're going to sow as well. You're going to reap what you're sowing. Let the one who's taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. What about it when you're in church, you know, and some minister I know has treated you badly and then he preaches a sermon and actually it's got something good in it. And you don't want to listen to that because, you know. I wonder whether that's true of us. Do you know if that was actually true all the time for us, we'd never listen to anybody. Because we're all sinners. And when you're taught the word, oh, what a blessing it is when people come back and actually share. You know, today, and this is an example of don't give up sowing. Sowing. 30 years passed. Someone was telling me today, you know, how long do I have to pray for something? I said, well, you just keep praying. You just don't give up praying. Because this morning, Imogen and Elise and Ruby came to Brighton, surprisingly. This is the granddaughters of Edna Coghill who died in church. You know. And they were able to share their story with them and they were all so excited down there as well. And then we talked about the fact that for 30 years we had heard nothing from them. But then 30 years later, after we'd prayed specifically actually for them, we got an email. No. And when the good things were shared at a time we needed to hear them, for those who teach the word of God, the devil fights them very hard. And they make mistakes as a result of that. But do not be deceived, says Paul. Do not be deceived. This is a fundamental. We should have this plastered all over our houses. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Can you mock God? No, you cannot. There is one thing you need to be sure that you're not doing, and that's fighting God, for you will lose. Simple as that, isn't it? You fight God, you lose. You can join with him and you'll always win. But God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. And this is an eternal truth. It's right there from Genesis to Revelation. Whatever you sow, you will reap. You sow love, you'll reap love. You sow hatred, you'll reap hatred. Look across the world and see what's happening. It's absolutely fundamental. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And in this story here, this crazy story of 2 Samuel 3, there's a lot of sowing of evil and wickedness. And the consequences we'll see in chapters that follow are just disaster. And the only one good thing that David says here, the Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. That's exactly what he does. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. How do we sow to the Spirit? How do we sow in such a way that the Spirit is able to come into action? Well, Paul tells us in chapter 5 of Galatians, some of the things that we can do to sow in the Spirit. What does he say there? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality. Well, we've got it all through this chapter, haven't we? 2 Samuel 3, sexual immorality. What does it lead to? Destruction. Impurity, sensuality. And if you're not being bombarded by these things, you must have your eyes closed permanently. These things are being thrust in your face. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, that's, you know, getting against people. Strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Well, if we entertain or enter into any of these things, we are sowing in the flesh and we will reap corruption. But what does it mean to sow in the Spirit? I've warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What does Paul say? Rejoice always. You know, when you don't have any money in the bank, rejoice always. When you lose your job, rejoice always, because God has a better job for you. Rejoice always. Joy is so important, isn't it, in the Christian life? Joy. How can you actually get joy? Well, I have a secret. I go to gospel radio in Florida, you know. Let me just, gospel 90.3, I get a lot of joy out of this. I put it on there and it just plays to me. Gospel songs talking about heaven, and I just find my spirit lifted up. And I start singing too. I start sowing in my own household, right? You know, my family think it's a bit crazy, but anyway, there I am. Because whatever you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Joy, joy, joy. So important. Peace. How do you sow peace? You confess your sins. You got no peace when you got sin. No peace, isn't that true? There's no peace in your heart when there's sin. If you've got something against somebody, you can't have peace in your heart. You got something in your heart, you know, where you've spoken something that wasn't quite right. You need to confess your sins. And this is why David is a man after God's own heart, actually, because he does confess his sins. And we have his sins confessed all through the Bible. In fact, they're there right there in 2 Samuel chapter 3. And when we get to Psalm 51, where he's finally really caught out, what do we find David doing? Pleading with God to have mercy on him. And then he says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, our spirit, it can get affected by all kinds of influences in this world. And David got affected. He fell into sin and his spirit was defiled. "Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me." You can't sow in the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit working in you. The Spirit is in you. If you're born again, the Spirit never leaves you. But you can grieve the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. Can't you? And when you grieve and quench the Spirit, you can't sow in the Spirit. If you want peace, you have to confess your sins. You have to deal with all those things that cause a trouble in your heart. Humble yourself. Ask God to forgive you. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit, with your spirit. For the Spirit of God is always willing to sow in the Spirit. And if you sow in the Spirit, you will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Isn't eternal life beautiful? Eternal life is not about what we get in the future. Eternal life is now. Eternal life is the life of the Spirit moving in us, working in us, releasing His love, His joy, His peace in our hearts. Eternal life, if we sow in the Spirit, we reap this eternal life in the Spirit. So Paul goes on to say, I told the story today of Paul at Lystra. You know, Paul was sowing in the Spirit there in the town. He saw a man had faith for healing and he just said, get up, rise up. And the man stood up. He was healed. Do you know that happened right here? Do you remember? One gave a testimony the other night. That happened right in our church. There was faith for healing. One came to me and said, I want the elders to come and pray and anoint my wife with oil. I think it was the first time we ever did it, really significantly. What happened? She was healed instantly. That happened in our church. Because a man had faith in God's promises, in His word. He was standing on the promises of God. And he put them into practice. He called for the elders. It was his faith, not ours. We just prayed and God used our hands. Flowed through us somehow and healed his wife. But one had faith. Well, you know, Paul did this in Lystra and then he preached the gospel to them. And then they stoned him. The Jews from another town brought him and stoned him and threw him out of the city and they thought he was dead. Now, what is Paul thinking about those Jews that stoned him? No? I don't know about you. I remember when I got put out of the hospital as the chaplain. I wasn't feeling too good about the people who did that to me. Until God showed me the problem wasn't theirs, it was mine. It was my problem, not their problem. God had orchestrated that to happen, to search my heart, to see if there was any wicked way in me. And there was. I was upset, it was so unjust. Nobody was standing for the truth. I was standing for the truth. But the problem was my heart towards those who treated me in that way. Was not pleasing to God. God used it to search me. Well, Paul was certainly searched. He was stoned by Jews from Lystra. You know, they grabbed these people, they stoned him, took him out of the city, he was dead, he was unconscious. And then the disciples, I love the story. I love the story because the disciples, they just gathered around him. It doesn't even say they prayed, they just gathered around him. Come on, get close together. The Holy Spirit will be so close around us that he just raised up like that. Up you got. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in you. If you're a believer, if you love Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. I know what happens when my brother Lamb comes into the office sometimes. I just feel excited. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside us. Do you know how important it is to be in the body of Christ? I tell you what, do not be on your own. In these days, you need to be absolutely with one another. You'll be smitten. Paul just had these believers come around him. He'd been stoned. He was lying on the ground unconscious and he just got up. And what did he do? He went straight back into the town with the people who had been opposing him. Was his heart right towards them? Absolutely, he was right. No bitterness. No angst. Just the love of Jesus. He was sowing in the Spirit. Well, we're going to need to do a lot of this, friends, because there's going to be opposition coming against us. I can tell you this. I'm absolutely sure of this. There's going to be significant opposition coming against those who declare the truth about God. But the issue is going to be us. Will we go on sowing? Will we continue sowing in the Spirit? Because we will reap. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. And so Paul says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. Do you grow weary? I think Lamb was preaching about it today, wasn't he? Are you weary? Where do you need to go? To Jesus. Come to me, he said. Don't go to David. David is flawed. Don't go to Michael. Michael is flawed. Go to Jesus, for he is not flawed. Jesus is absolutely perfect. He is the only one who can equip you with everything good to do his will. And he will if you go to him. You may need to confess your sin to him. You may need to humble yourself and ask his forgiveness. You may need to be cleansed by his blood and renewed and refreshed in his spirit. But go to Jesus if you're weary, because he will restore you. Look how he restored Paul, who was stoned and he was unconscious. And God wants to do that for us. Do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. This is an unchanging truth of God that I'm declaring you tonight. And you can take this home for the rest of your life. Whatever you sow, you will reap. God cannot be mocked. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Everyone, says Paul. Not just a friend, not just a neighbor, not just, but the enemy, the opponent, and especially to those of the household of faith. And some of those at times are your opponents because they get on the wrong tram, as we do too. Here is a wonderful summary of the story of the Bible, God's calling upon our lives. And the one thing David did that shines out, which Jesus never had to do, but David did, was ask God to create in me a clean heart. Wash me clean from my sin, Lord, for I'm corrupted like the world around me. I don't love like you love. I don't forgive like you forgive. Don't go to David, he sinned like you sinned. Go to Jesus, for he never sinned. And we're to be like him in every way. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Well, we can never sow in the Spirit unless we live in the Spirit. We can never live in the Spirit unless we're led by the Spirit. In sowing, if we grieve the Spirit, if we quench the Spirit, it's sin that causes this grief and quenching. We need to repent of our sins and come to Jesus. He will equip us to keep on sowing what is good and right and pleasing to God. And in due season, we shall reap. For God cannot be mocked. And what we have in 2 Samuel 3 is a lot of sowing to the flesh, which reaps a lot of corruption in the days that lie ahead. Amen.